best way of this album, Cytherator, is going to be released October 26th here in the U.S. Can you tell us a little bit more about the concepts and ideas behind this release?
Sure. It's already released here in Europe and in Latin America, and the reaction, the best thing is really to talk to the fans about it, but the reaction was from the fans that it was sort of like looking back to the old classic Therion album Lemuria and Sirius B. And that had its explanation, I think, because a lot of the songs that's on this new album, not all of them, but some of them, are written around that time. So I guess this is a more classic Therion album than the previous one, Gothic Kabbalah, was, I think. And yeah, it's very symphonic and bombastic, you know, and a lot of orchestra, a lot of good melodies, and yeah. And I think on this album also we put a little bit of 70s touch on it, you know, like old vinyl sound, and I think it sounds pretty cool.
And now that you mentioned, I mean, that the songs were written in 2004, what took you guys like a while to release them?
Well, I think that's Christopher's fault, because he can go from one idea to another idea in just one day, because he feels like that, you know. So, yeah, it's true, because after Lemuria and Sirius B was released, it was planned for another album, and then he sort of changed and went to another direction directly. So these songs have been lying there growing, you know. So, but not all songs are old songs. There's a few new also. For example, the title track is written by me, and that's pure fresh.
And how do you feel that now, since you've been in the band in 2009, how do you feel that, and participating live since 2007, how do you feel that now you can actually provide more input to the music?
Yeah, it feels, of course, very good. I mean, for the first time in my life, I've been sort of like always in my career been the hired gun, you know, for different bands and so on. But for the first time, it feels like I have a home. The ship find a harbor finally, you know. So it feels pretty good. Yeah, it sounds cliche, but it's true. It feels like that.
And how hard is it to, you know, try to get an idea past Christopher and him, you know, liking it or not, since he's the one that's used to doing all this stuff?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's pretty simple. Either it's a no or it's a yes. Christopher is very black and white, you know. So, I mean, I write a lot of songs in different genres, you know. I also write for pop bands here in Sweden. You know, you got to survive. You got to pay the rent. But so I like to write songs. So, and that's something I'm pretty good at, I think. So, most of the songs that I wrote, he liked, you know.
And how was the transition, you know, for you to get adjusted from the hired singer to the actual singer?
How it was? It was very, it was great, you know. Christopher called me one day, and when he called, he sounds very serious, you know. It's not like me, who's laughing with everybody, you know, and it's like, hi, it's Christopher, you know. Hi! Hi. So he'd say, can we have a lunch? Yeah, sure. And I thought, maybe he will kick me, you know. But he actually took me out to an Italian restaurant and asked me, do you want to become a permanent member? I said, of course I want. You know, so everything has gone very smooth, and all this recording and everything has been very lustful, and actually we didn't shout at each other one single time. So it has been great.
Hey, can you tell us a little bit more about the, you know, the recording process, how it all happened for this release?
Of course. It was like, it started with, I was actually calling to Christopher and say, isn't it time to make a new record soon? Yes, it is, he said. So, what's it going to be called? You have any title? Yeah, it's going to be called Cytherator. Okay, I said. And so the next day I went into to studio to, I wrote that song after I heard the title. I wrote it in my cell phone. I was on my way to the supermarket and I started to hum it, you know, and recorded it. So people were looking pretty strange at me, you know. But the next day I went in to record a demo for that. And I made it very fast, you know, very basic. So I thought maybe Christopher will not understand this idea really. But then I got the demos from Christopher, and those, they sound like you know, the demos you made in the early 80s, you know, in the Porta studio, you know, four track. So, okay, this is it. But he does that very simple, so he can create later in the real process, in the real studio, you know. But we made the basic tracks we made in Christopher's own studio here in Sweden, like the drums and you know, the rhythm guitars and everything. And then we made and also the vocals, the lead vocal stuff. And then we went into the legendary Polar studio where ABBA recorded all their albums and Led Zeppelin, you know, and blah, blah. And we put all the additional recordings there, like choirs and orchestras, harmonicas and accordions, and I don't know, every instrument that is on this album, even a children's choir, you know. We had to fill the studio with, I think, I don't know how many there were, but maybe 30, 40 kids from music class here in Stockholm, choir music class. You know, and we had, I think I bought candies for, I don't know, $100 or something like that. So it was pretty fun, but very fun. But we totally exploded the budget. The album was first planned to be released in June, and we were in the studio and we looked at each other. It's not going to happen, is it? No. So, but it seems to just grow and grow, and it was the process was very funny, you know, and it was great all the way, you know, and I think we accomplished something very cool. And this sound technician we had on this album, his name is Lennart Östlund. He was also participating in all these legendary recordings, the Led Zeppelin, Scorpions, ABBA, blah, blah, blah. And he's typically Scandinavian. He doesn't talk too much, you know. But when we were finished, he turned around and looked at us and said, "Hey, guys, you really created something that's unique today," you know. And then he went away. He's seen it all, you know. So here we are.
And how do you feel that this album is, you know, since it's kind of tied to the 2004 albums, but how do you feel that it compares overall to the discography of the band?
You mean compared to the rest of the catalog or to
yeah.
to other bands?
Yeah, no, to the, yeah. the catalog, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the new thing about this album is basically, I think, the sound on it, because the sound, in my opinion, sounds very 70s and very analog, and that's on purpose, actually, because we are listening, at least me and Christopher are listening to a lot of 70s stuff, and that's basically what we are recording is the things that we like, but we sort of dress it in symphonic clothes, you know. So, and I think also it's a very playful album. It's like buying a Queen album. I don't say I'm compared to Queen, but but when you bought a Queen album in those days, you know, you got everything there from hard rock to Britain strolling music, or I don't know how to call it, but, you know, I think you can find a lot of interesting things when you buy this album.
And what would you say to the fans? I mean, if you had to, like, you know, make a sales pitch for it, what would be the points that you want to highlight about it, besides the ones we talked?
Well, it's bang for the buck, I think. Really. Because, I mean, like I said before, you have everything, and it's an album that you should sit down with and listen to from beginning to end. It's not a party record. I mean, Therion was never about that. But it's a record you can listen on and still find new things in, you know. So it's very interesting in that point of view, I think. Even I find things in it that I didn't remember from the recording. Oh, yeah, you're right, we did this, you know.
And using so many vocalists and choir sections and everything, how hard is it to lay down the, you know, the foundations of how you want the vocals to sound and where do you want them to go for each song in this album?
I mean, we took there, we for the opera choirs, for example, we took people from the Royal Opera here and from the Royal Opera School also. And you never know how they are until they get into the studio, but this time we were lucky because they were nailing it pretty fast, you know. And, you know, those people are very bound to notes. They cannot improvise. They have no blues in their body whatsoever, you know. So luckily, Christopher writes notes and arranges music, you know. I don't. And so we put up, you know, note sheets and everything, and here you go, here's the words, And those guys, I mean, they nailed it very fast, and they were very funny. I mean, some of them was more rock and roll than we are, you know. Yeah, we're talking about girls and drinking and booze, you know, and we want to go on tour with you. Well, we don't have a budget for that, but, you know. But, and I nailed my lead vocals, I think I did in 2 days or something like that. So that was pretty fast, everything. But Christopher is a man of order, you know. I don't know what you call that disease, but, you know, he's had everything clear with papers and everything, you know, and when the musician comes in for the temple, the trumpets or something, he has the notes clear, and those guys look at the notes and they just play, you know.
it's
been smooth.
Okay. And don't you think that something this kind of mechanical will kind of take away some of it? Soul or something that could happen if you let somebody a little bit loose?
You mean if you let them free and away from the sheet, you mean?
not too much, but you have like a little part that they could actually put on their own feeling.
We actually did. Some of the parts you hear are made on their own. For example, the guy who plays harmonica, for example, he's both blind and almost deaf. It's actually true. So he obviously doesn't read notes, you know. So he came in and we sort of told him, do what you can here, you know. And that guy is called Mats, and he's the old harmonica player from Frank Zappa's band. He lives in Sweden now. Mm-hmm. And he was not for free, that I can say. But he just came in and played around with it and, you know, played some different tracks, and we choose the best one. But like I said before, the notes are just like the sketch, and then you can play from them, but you can make your own decorations, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
so it's not you don't have to follow it slavery, but you know, you have to follow the pattern at least, you know.
And how do you feel that all this, you know, the band has way too many elements, and obviously you can't play everything live when it comes to live. Do you guys think about how the songs would sound live before you go touring?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that, of course, we should want to do everything live and to bring the whole orchestra, but it simply doesn't fly, you know. But, so we have the orchestra parts and some choral parts we have on computer, on a click track. Mm-hmm. So, that's not the dream situation, but that's what we have to do, because if you take that away, it wouldn't be Therion, you know.
And so are you guys having plans for at least once ever doing all this stuff live and like a special live performance?
We actually talked about it during the South American tour right now, but it's just on the talking level. But I mean, it's a seed for something. I really hope so, yeah.
And what are you?
But when that's going to happen, I don't know.
And what are your particular goals and ideas that you have for the band, and what do you want to achieve with it?
Well, of course, we all want Therion to grow, but to tell you the truth, we are pretty satisfied also as it is, you know. But of course, we want it to develop and be better and better. We want to do better shows, so, you know, I think that's the motor, the engine you got to have. You got to have the desire to develop the band into something that goes better and better and better all the time, you know. And, I mean, what you should do is really to concentrate to make it better for yourself. Because, I mean, like Christopher said once, every Therion album is a commercial suicide, he said. And I think that's very brave. But he doesn't give a shit as long as he likes it himself, you know. And I respect it. I agree with that, you know.
And, talking to that, I mean, yeah, obviously the band sound might not be the most commercial thing out there. How do you guys manage?
It's not radio singles, is it?
Yeah, exactly. So how do you, what are your thoughts on, you know, how to make the band grow in terms of the sound itself?
Well, I don't know, because it's not a good thing for a band like Therion when you start to think, how can we make this sell more? Because then it starts to become a commercial machine and a sellout. And, I mean, let's say, for example, if Therion commercially explodes tomorrow with Zidata, for example, people will call it a sellout, because everything that sells are called that. But I think if that happened, I will not complain. It would be fun. But, I mean, the only thing I concentrate in this band is to put out quality, what I think is quality. And I think mission is accomplished on this album.
And how involved do you think that you're going to be in the future, you know, since they already let you do a song here and there here in this album? Do you think that you're going to be more participate in the next albums?
I really want that. I really want that. I mean, we haven't come so long in the discussion. We are not even discussing the next album yet. But of course, I will contribute with as much as I possibly can. But I in the same time, I don't want to take everything, you know, away from Christopher. He created this little beast, you know, and I think that's how it should be also. I mean, he did this for 23 years, and I'm not the kind of guy that comes in and say, hey, let's do it this way instead, you know. but of course, I want to be creative and write new songs for the album and have ideas for stage show and everything. So, of course I want. And I think it's going to be that way also, to be honest with you.
And how is Christopher feeling about, you know, having like a fresher look into things now, since pretty much most of like permanent members of the band have been changing, and actually the latest formation is from members from 2008 and 2010, so it's only him as the older part, and then there's all this new blood that coming in.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been a tradition almost in Therion to change the members, so I hang on tight here, let me tell you. but really, to tell you the truth, I mean, I was in the last leg of the Gothic Kabbalah tour, and now when we go out with this, I think, from my point of view, that the spirit and the tension, not tension, the spirit in the band has never been as good as it is now. It smiles every day, it's jokes, you know, you shake each other's shoulders, you know, and it's a really good vibe. And I think with age, you appreciate that much more than you maybe did before when you were younger. You didn't care. But now it's great. It's like being out with real good friends, to tell you the truth. A kindergarten for adults.
And you guys have like a pretty extensive European tour at from the end of October until December. Are there any plans of crossing over to North America, maybe, since you guys do play a lot in South America?
Yeah, we do, because we're big in South America. I mean, here in Sweden, nobody recognized me, almost, you know. But when we are, for example, in Mexico and Argentina and places like, I can hardly go out, it's true. People doesn't believe me until I show the photos, you know. But, of course, we are going to the States. We're going to the States to do the Prague Festival.
Yeah. Prog Power.
Pardon me?
Yeah, Prog Power USA, yeah.
Yeah, Prog Power. And that's going to be great.
Sorry?
Yeah, you go on.
Oh, yeah, and are there any other, like, you know, a couple of maybe club shows around there or something in the works, or is it just going to be like a one-off performance?
Like it looks now, it's a one-off gig. But as Christopher said, the last tour we went to the States, you know, we went minus, major, minus. So he was pretty pissed. Oh, we'll never go back and play here again, you know. But you never know. It's just words, you know. For me, personally, I would love to come over and play the States again. I had a blast over there, you know. But of course, I wasn't economically responsible, so. No, really, I would love it, because it was my first time to the U.S. ever, the last tour, and I was really, I have to say, I was seduced by L.A. and the typical things, the New York, you know, and all the fast food.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for me, oh, my God. When I first visited Taco Bell, I'm a fan on Taco Bell in Facebook, you know. It's great. For me, it's paradise, you know. We only have, in Sweden, we have McDonald's and Burger King, that's it. Oh, we have 7-Eleven, God bless them. But that's it. So I want to go over again, definitely.
And I kind of lost my thread.
But it's really depending on also how, if the album, if we see that the album go very, very well in the States, then I think it's a big chance that we come over.
And what would you think they would be like the key to this album finally, you know, breaking through in the U.S.?
Oh, I mean, for me that's impossible to say, because if I had that answer, I would be a zillionaire right now, you know. but if, for example, you listen to the title track, I think that song is, in a way, pretty easy listening. It catches you very fast, and I can't say it's Americanized, but maybe it's something that fits very good in the ears of a Yankee, you know. So I the only thing I can do is hope, you know.
And I mean, out of all the touring that you guys have done, what for you personally, what has been your favorite experiences in while touring with Therion?
Well, I mean, when we come, like I said before, when we come over to South America, people standing on the airports, and first I thought it was my first gig, I mean, touring gig for Therion, was we came to Quito in Ecuador.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a country you. And I mean, there are fans on the airport just screaming their lungs out. And I was kind of in shock. Is this happening? I'm over 40, you know, and girls like in their 20s are screaming after me, you know. It's a blessing. I don't complain at that. And I mean, all the things you get to see, you know, we have some days off, you know, sometimes, and we try to see as much things as we possibly can. And I mean, you meet a lot of funny people. I mean, now this time in Mexico, we had to cancel a show in Mexico City, actually. So what we did, we had to change hotel to provide that the fans come there and were angry and don't want to kill us. So we changed hotel to another hotel, and by accident, by coincidence, Lacrimosa and Sonata Arctica lived at the whole same hotel, you know. And also, that hotel was also a birthday party for a guy with a mariachi band, you know, and a Beatles cover band. So the whole tragedy developed into a mega party. I mean, it was so fun, you know, and we had a lobby call, I think, 7 o'clock the day after. But we had a blast. So those details, you know, it's great. You meet these people, you take photos on them, and then you look at the computer. Yeah, it was this guy who said this and did that, you know. So I think you get, maybe you don't get rich in economical point of view, but in experience, yes. And that's the most important thing.
And is the tour musicians going to change for this, for the next leg of the tour, or you guys are going to keep it tight now?
I mean, like it feels now, I think everything is going to be like it is, you know, because it has been very good. When we go to Europe now, it's me, Snowy, Christopher, Johan, Valdemar, and Lori and Katarina. It's how it should be, this tour. And maybe next tour, when we do things in 2011, we get Doug Nallis, the bass player, because he has been, you know, had a big drinking problem.
Yeah.
So he chose by himself to step off this tour, which was very smart, and he tries to recover now. And when you live close to that, you really see that it is a disease, you know, it's uncontrollable. So, but we hope to get him back for 2011.
Okay. And out of the new album, I mean, going back a little bit, which songs do you consider are your favorite ones and why?
Oh, my own song. No, I of course I like it because it's like a little baby, but apart from that, I should say that. I think that my favorites are Land of Canaan, the long song, because that's a song that sort of, you should listen to it many times because it contains like everything, you know, every single instrument you can. It's typical Therion. it's not less is more, more is more, you know?
Yeah.
It's that. Yeah. I also like the rawness in the song, Unguentum Sabbati, that Snowy sings. And I think he does a tremendous job on that one. So I think I hold those as my favorites, I think.
And if you now that you looking at this album as like a finished product, is there any part inside of you that's like, oh man, I should have changed this, I should have done something a little bit different?
Oh man, always, always. I don't think I made any album without thinking that. I think that's impossible. There are parts that, oh fuck, why I didn't do that, and why we didn't do like that. I think it's always like that. I will not reveal those parts, though. but it's not to the point. I mean, I've done albums in the past that every time I played it for friends, I sort of when that part comes. But it's really, on this album, it's nothing. I'm not ashamed of anything, or I don't think it's bad. But of course, there are points that you think, oh, I should have done this instead, you know, or in that way, or sing with that timbre, you know. Of course, but no big things, you know.
And
I think that's how it should be, because I think it's when you overwork something. Some people sit in the studios and they are never satisfied, you know, with something. You must come to a point where, yeah, this is good, you know, because if you overwork it, you know, it the product will be as good as dead, you know, because it has to be some edges to it, you know.
It can't be too perfect.
No, that would be a Toto album, you know. But probably the Toto guys say the same time when they listen to their product, you know. Oh, we should have done this. Yeah, probably. But for me, those albums are good, but it's definitely not the rock albums, you know.
And just one kind of off question. Do you know why the album was released almost a month later in the U.S., in America?
To tell you the truth, I don't have a clue. It's really the record company who makes all that. I don't have a clue. But for me, it's also very strange, because I think it's not the first time in history an album does that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know why they do like that. I don't have a clue, to tell you the truth.
Do you think it would be, like, bad or good, since, I mean, people will be able to get it and, you know, like, bootleg copies of the internet if they really want it, since they're going to have to wait for more than a month?
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, the downloading thing is what it is. It doesn't matter if I like it or not, because it will be there. It's here to stay. And I have been downloading stuff, too. I'm not an angel, you know, so... Of course, I prefer when people buy the real thing, because it's always better. But I accept the fact that people are downloading. I do, whether I like it or not. But the downloading really, I think the downloading thing really, I think it kills the value of the music, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, now I sound like my daddy. When I was a kid, you know, you waited until this LP comes out, and you went to the store, always one day delayed, and you went home 3 kilometers, you know, again, by foot, and you went back the next day, and wow, I have it, and the day was planned, it was booked, you know, for listening to that album, you know, and you sat down by the kitchen table, and you unfolded, and you read all the lyrics, you know, from point zero to point 100, or what it is, you know, and it was a bigger thing back then. Today, you know, I think people rush too much, inclusive me. I mean, you may be not even listening to the whole songs, because it's so easy to put on the next one, you know. When I was young, I mean, you have to go to the it's called gramophone,
yeah.
To lift up the pick up and, you know, put it exactly on the right spot for the next song, you know. You didn't do that. You listen from A to Z, you know.
And what do you think would be like the best setting to sit down and listen to this album, since a lot of people don't like that? Okay, yeah, the people get the MP3s, but most of them use like really bad computer speakers and stuff. What would be your ideal accommodation to listen to this release?
For me, when I test listen a new album, I put it on a very same. I go to my mother's place, because she has sort of like transistor radio with CD in. If it sounds good in that one, it's going to sound good in the rest of, of people's ears.
Yeah.
But it's really true, because most people have the radio on and they have very simple stuff in their kitchens and stuff like that. So I try it out that. But the best thing to listen to this record, I mean, you go home and pour up a good little whiskey or a glass of red wine and put on the cans on your ears and just put it on and read the lyrics and enjoy it, you know.
Okay.
And I mean, tell your wife to go and read a book or something. Do it alone.
And what would you think the listener will get out of all this experience if it's, you know, combined and actually, you know, setting a time aside to actually sit down through it?
I hope they have a sort of like a wow experience, you know. That's what I hope. Because that's what I like most when I got a new album in my hand, and, you know, and I listen to it, and after I'm taken in some way, you know, by the whole spirit, you know, of the music. Even if you don't understand the lyrics always, because they're very complex. I don't even understand what I'm saying about sometimes, you know, in shows. It happens, actually, that me and Snowy goes over to each other and you whisper in my ear, what the hell are we singing about, you know? But apart from that, you can listen to music, and even if you don't understand everything, you can let yourself be dragged away by it, you know. And that's a great feeling, I think. And I hope this album will do that to the listener.
And are there any, like, closing remarks that you want to say to the people that are going to be listening to this interview from North America?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with music from the United States. I mean, I went to your school. I grew up with Kiss, Alice Cooper, you know, that was my thing. Totally my thing. So, I mean, for me to come to the United States is like walking on holy ground. Yeah, really, musically it is. And I really hope that we will do more than just one-off show in the United States, and I hope to see you all.